Blog Talk Radio.
It up. These are the yokes, folks.
To introduce Miss Piggy, that's what I'm here to do. So it really makes her happy to introduce to you the indescribable, the incompatible, the unendurable Miss Piggy!
Kermit, how did you describe me?
Indescribable.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I can't remember.
Well, remember this! Hi-ya!
Drummer, Animal.
Yeah, Greg Ratgard.
No, Animal, not this one.
Welcome to WIF Radio, better known as Wrestling It Factor Radio. This is Kermit the Frog. Welcome to the Muppet Show with our very special guest, John Moxley. Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Throwback Wednesdays. We're going to talk everything from Impact Wrestling, AEW News, WWE Review, and SmackDown. Also, politics, and the Jim Hansen legacy, NXT TakeOver, and more. Joined by co-host Tommy Two Chips.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, waka waka.
The Muppets do bring back memories.
Yes. Very creative. Very right. Very creative. What Vince McMahon needs to learn from Jim Henson's playbook.
You gotta do something. Best thing about Raw was to Firefly Funhouse again.
That's true.
That was the best thing.
Yep. And
but as for WWE, NXT TakeOver was incredible. Oh man, my favorite match was the ladder match, the four-way ladder match for the tag team for NXT. Tag Team Championship. That was my favorite match.
Yes.
They were everywhere. Because the main event was good, too. Adam Cole became an NXT champion. That was an unbelievable match.
That definitely was from Johnny Gargano. Oh, no. Yes, we had another good women's match with Shayna Baszler and Shirai.
Yeah, that was good too. Woo! NXT, there's so much talent, so much good stuff in NXT. That was a good defense.
Yes, it was. And when I was just thinking about that the last Monday Night Raw, they had way more viewers that had the Muppets on air than this one right here. The last Raw was horrible. But I would take the Muppets any day over that, the last time they was on Raw with, of course, even though it was hokey with, you know, Sheamus being the cousin of Beaker and
Daniel Bryan,
of course, you also had Vicky Guerrero and Miz, you know, and you know, doing things with Kermit the Frog and Piggy, and even
what's
with
your
that
interference, your favorite Muppet characters, if you had named three, your favorite Muppets.
Wow.
Yeah,
I would say Mr. T. Yes. He kind of reminded me of George Clinton. Also, Fozzie the Bear, also.
Fozzie, yes.
Corny, but... Yeah. And who else? You also have who else? Animal. Wildman.
Yes.
We're not talking about Animal of Legion of Doom.
Yes.
Vince could have used that as creative right there. Or Animal, meet Batista that time. No. See, like, if this was Jim Henson was around right here, he would have made it worth watching Raw. He could have had the bigger Muppets like Sweetums, that kind of reminded me of Braun Strowman, who else? The big blue thing also, and the bigger ones also. He could have used their wrestlers from NXT basically to, you know, to take on, to have a wrestling match with them right there. It would have been a genius right there.
It would have been better than what was going on right now. That's for sure.
Right. Can you imagine Kermit doing the Van Terminator? He could have did one on Shane McMahon. Look at you. I can't believe it. Damn hell. Damn, I'm a frog. Damn it. Waka waka. It's a highlight reel. Yeah. Look at the Fozzie Bear. That's all you say, pup.
Yeah, that's what was good.
Kermit the Miz. I'm leaving you with the Miz. Fuck you, Miss Piggy. Fuck you.
They used to do adult stuff when the Muppets was first coming out. They did do adult stuff. They were on Saturday Night Live and late night talk shows.
Yes, and originally the Muppets were supposed to be called Sex and Violence. They tried that and they didn't like the idea. American executives, TV executives.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had Bert and Ernie. They fit Bert and Ernie in there from Sesame Street, and they brought them back from that. They just end up being guest stars on there with the other Sesame Street characters later on. But it didn't have its feel right there because Kermit wasn't running the show as the boss. Jim Henson, you know, ended up improving his, you know, his thing for the Muppet Show that made it better with Kermit, with the lead guy in charge of the backstage and everything.
Yeah.
He was Vince McMahon. He was Vincent K. McMahon right there. you also had the guys in the balcony, like a JR or a Jim Ross comedy thing.
Yeah, they were funny.
Yes, and he kind of did some little and adult things on Sesame Street, of course, with, you know, basically some of the characters on Sesame Street do remind me of African Americans, though, basically, like Grover, like he had every job, basically, sort of like the hustler.
Yes, hustle some rocks. I work at Walmart.
Do you work everywhere? And the blue man always meet up with the blue man and Mr. Johnson, and he always harass him all the time. That's entertainment.
Yeah.
With Frank Oz was the right hand man. He was the enforcer. He was like the Arn Anderson, the Jim Henson right there. And they know that Jim Henson also hired, you know, also openly gay puppeteers also. The guy named Richard Hum that did the voice of Scooter and the Two-Headed Monsters from Sesame Street and a few others, you know, he died of AIDS in 92 right there. And they did, you know, they kind of made, you know, a parody of it on the Muppets a little bit also. Don't forget Kevin. Yep. And before Kevin Clash, he did do Elmo right there and got frustrated.
He's from Maryland.
Yes. Kevin Clash. Yep.
Was he from Maryland?
Yes. Kevin Clash from, yep, Baltimore, Maryland. Grew up in Dundalk right there, diversity. And he, you know, he was not, they did this bogus lawsuit on him. I think these gay models or transgender ones. And what happened was they just wanted money. They didn't know all along that he was the guy that did Elmo. Once they found out, they wanted put a lawsuit on him. You know, that kind of, they messed up his chances as being director of Sesame Street and doing things for the Muppets, because he did also, I forgot the black guy with the dreadlocks for the Muppets. He'd been doing that since 89 also, and he finally made his comeback to the Muppet world with Happy Time Murders, the comedy that came out, I think last year in the summer, and he did voiceovers for some of the black Muppets on there, and he's basically back. Maybe he'll be back to Sesame Street soon.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, and people don't know that Jim Henson was a hippie, basically, and also he was a progressive also, and you know, he introduced the socialism for Fraggle Rocks and a few other things also, that, you know, Sesame Street was brought in as part of the social movement also for unprivileged, you know, minorities and, you know, trying to learn the better way, trying to give them, you know, more things to learn from also, because they know that the privileged kids that are, you know, that had wealth, you know, learning the right way, but they needed an outlet for neighborhood in the city right there. So they came up with the concept Sesame Street right there for black and Latinos and other diversity. And he just, you know, just like Jeff Bezos, you know, loved diversity, Jim Henson had he loved diversity a whole lot around the world and everywhere, basically. You know, as a black history, fact that, you know, he hired the the two African American couples ever for a television show ever before anyone in 1969. You know, Susan and Gordon right there. Not the original. The original Gordon was Holly Robinson's dad. That's no longer with us. You know, later on, Roscoe. I forgot his other real name, his last name, but he came in later to play Gordon. The 2 years later, and it's just it was so funny. The, you know, comedy with education, entertainment. And to this day, it still goes on. And when they set the record for every, they win an Emmy every year. They have a world record for any show in America.
Sesame Street.
Yes.
Bernie. I used to watch Sesame Street a lot. I like Sesame Street more than Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, to be honest with you.
Yes, I've been watching it way more than Rogers. I've seen a few episodes of Rogers and Make Believe Land and stuff. And some people used to make fun that he was a molester and all of this. And of course, he was a priest and stuff. But
he was going to be a preacher. Yeah, he was.
Yes.
He's very religious.
And another political fact right here that he fought for public television to continue going on when he went to the House to Capitol Hill right there to fight it right there with the House also to hit I forgot the House Republican majority leader at the time. And you know, Mr. Rogers stated his case with everything, why they needed public television and everything. And
yes, he did.
Yes.
He did. His testimony changed everything, changed people's minds.
Yes. And I think that's the only thing that's missing right now, that I think Trump should have not made cut no funds from the Children's Television Network right there, public television from Sesame Street right there and others.
You sure was it the states? Because I think that'd be on the state level.
I think this was with the Meals on Wheels things included also.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and they were showing things, even lines of Big Bird flipping off him and Romney also with the finger and everything. And it's just Trump is maybe a little bit out of touch that they wasn't no fans of it, of Sesame Street, but they did parodies on Trump also with one of Oscar the Grouch things. And, they would have did a lot of parodies on Trump right now if Jim Henson was around right there. He has so much of a relationship with NBC also, because they still cater to this day, making deals with the Children's Television Network and Muppets right there. But the worst thing, I think, the pneumonia right there that in 1990, been 29 years now that he is gone right there. He waited the last minute. Yeah, I was in shock too.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yes, I remember, you know, coming back home from with my mom, grandmother and her friend, and just found out the bad news about him and Sammy Davis Jr. on the same day.
Yeah, Sammy Davis did everything.
Right. Yes, he did a whole lot and for the entertainment business. And it was just shocking for both of them. During those days, they paid a lot of tributes for Hollywood figures like both of them on TV on specials. They did a whole lot, basically.
Yeah.
And right there, that was like, because he was about to make a deal with Disney, Jim Henson, but he would have kept the rights to them still with the Muppets. It was going to be a joint deal, basically. And it fell through once he passed right there. And I remember that they still talk to this day and stuff, I think. I think it was Frank Oz and a few others when Jim Henson, you know, they know that he was sick and, you know, he had a, you know, thing about, he said, this goddamn deal, get the deal. Yeah, he didn't mean to do it like that because he was maybe under the weather. He still had early stages of pneumonia right there. And, wow, it was, they don't know when, you know, they basically had the special with it right there. And right there, the Muppets kind of, in Sesame Street, they was doing like a brand thing. What you see with Vince doing that with Ron Smegma, they was doing like a, you know, Kermit goes to Sesame. Really, he started on Sesame Street, basically. But
He did.
Yes, and you had both of them do things, you know, do side things. They appear on the Muppets or any of them, and or they do specials. All they come as a joint thing. Both of them, they make cameos in the Muppet movies also, and which was that was the very best he did also. The trade Muppets ever with humans right there for them riding cars or bikes, circles and.
Mm-hmm.
In a movie theater, that was more interesting, and they for a lot of families to watch right there. And it just felt, you know, where how things was, you know, you didn't see no, you know, when it was a good time in America with no you know, you don't have to worry about no trauma, nothing like that. And it was basically peaceful right there. Yes. Just filled with comedy. Yes.
One of the greatest child songs, in my opinion, was Sesame Street. Kermit the Frog used to do stuff with the Cookie Monster and everything. And Cookie Monster did a song. Cookie Monster did a song called "See It's for Cookie." That's one of my favorite child songs ever. And and when the Muppets had their first major motion picture, the Rainbow Connection, Kermit the Frog sang. I mean, that was a good movie, and that was one of my favorite. You know, I like that. Like that song, "The Rainbow Connection."
Yes, a nice song. Also, they put together even with the Muppet Band also.
Right.
They did a lot of, it can't kind of remind me of the hip hop also. Can you picture that song? And Jim Henson was a big fan of Miles Davis and a lot of them, even the funk music also, the Parliament and everything. You had, you know, one of the blue, I forgot his name, I think it's Hoots, that did the saxophone that looked like Miles Davis. You had Ralph the Dog also.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Henson sounded like a black guy when he's doing Ralph the Dog all the time.
Yeah. That sounds like a jazz musician.
Right. And they also had the other guy, Lips, that had the afro. And I said that he was a former member of the Earth, Wind, and Fire, the later one of the Muppets. It was just amazing with Animal and the one girl performing, actually by Richard Hunt, the late Richard Hunt right there. And it was just amazing. And even when they had guest stars on the Muppets, like Gladys Knight and others, and all of a sudden you hear Ralph the Doug, you know, do some comedy also, and she said, who was the strive the woman you was with before? She said, was she black? And he said, oh no, she was spotted.
Is Gladys has been on that show? Sylvester Stallone was on that show. Roger Moore. Let's see, they also had. Who else do I remember? Christopher Reeve, Superman, was on that show. I mean, it's like the Mother Show was one of the best places to be at on TV because they had major stars on that show, you know. And I used to watch the Mother Show, you know, and reruns and everything.
Yes, definitely, excellent. I still watch it on YouTube. With family, even with the you had performers like Elton John.
Yes, Elton John was on. Yes, he was. Yes.
Yes. I think Linda Carter was on there also. Yes.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yes, she was Wonder Woman. She sang.
Yes.
She sang the Rubber Band Man. And the Rubber Band. The
yep.
Rubber Band Band. Yes, she was on there. I remember that one.
Yeah. Diana Ross also, she did her song Reach Out and Touch with Fozzie the Bear. Kenny Rogers.
My name
mm-hmm.
is Kenny Rogers. I'm not an alcoholic. That's fake news.
Give me the country. Johnny Cash was on there.
Yeah, the Man in Black.
Reba McEntire. Yep.
Yep.
Reba McEntire was on there.
Yes. I was hoping that Michael Jackson would be on there, but he made an appearance on Sesame Street Christmas special back in 77. And with us, you know, giving the president Oscar the Grouch. And people are amazed when they see that today, basically.
Oh, the Cosby Show kids were on Sesame Street.
That is true.
That was a bit of a...
Yes.
You see, Kermit.
Now Jim Henson's puppets were on there. You know, people were coming on. Maybe people were coming on the Muppets. But Frank Oz,
right.
One of his partners, you know, he appeared in movies. He was in the Blues Brothers,
that's
which came out in the late 70s, early 80s. He was in the Blues Brothers movies. The first one came out in the late 70s, in the early 80s, and that one came out like in about late 90s, early 2000s. Frank, he was in those movies. So this is like everyone who hung around him pretty much got successful and went on to do other things. Seems like.
Yep. He also did Yoda, also the voice of Yoda in Star Wars.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah, but Yoda, he did do Yoda.
Damn, Disney, they bought out both of them. The Monsters mm-hmm. in Star Wars. And one thing that some people was angry about, a lot of Star Wars marks have said that don't put Kermit the Frog in Star Wars. Yep. They eventually bought the Muppets from the Jim Henson's children in 2004, which was a bad. They should have waited later to sell their properties. They should have. It was better for them to sell it to NBC right there, because they have more creative control and they still had that a working relationship with Sesame Street and Jim Henson over the past. I think the Henson family regretted probably now selling that and stuff, and they should have protected Kermit the Frog to keep him on Sesame Street, in which people protested.
Kermit the Frog had two different personalities. One minute he was friendly with you. And friendly with people, the puppets did. He would just go off and just be mean, you know, because that's why he wasn't really popular at first with people. But when Kermit the Frog came to host of the Muppet Show, he could do both, and he was successful. But he had trouble, you know. Kermit Frog had a little bit of a trouble, you know, trying to get accepted, you know, before the Muppet Show. But when he came to host the Muppet Show, all that fell into, everything fell into place.
Yep, you're right about that. It's like so many. He paved the way for animatronics also in movies also. You see, like he did the Lazarus also, Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal, I saw Dark Crystal. That was a good movie. I saw Dark Crystal. It was incredible. The puppets in that movie were pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was basically amazing right there with how he did, how they added that to it also. Even though he was frustrated that they should have that he could have did more to the movie and stuff, but it was still something different out of Sesame Street and the Muppets. And the Henson production did everything from Fraggle Rocks to every movie with the creature and the animatronics. And they managed to keep the shop. They didn't sell that. They sold, you know, of course, Sesame Street to public television, the children's network also. And
do you remember the cartoon, The Muppet Babies?
Oh, yes. That was a classic in the 80s, a major classic. And they just rebooted it and stuff. But nothing would... it would never be on track with the 80s ones.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, Disney. You have, that's the only thing they don't give their puppeteers creative control and stuff. Even though the new ones, you know, Frank Oz, once they sold it to Disney, he didn't want to do he didn't want nothing to do with Disney because they took away creative control from, you know, the Muppeteers. So he stayed with Sesame Street, but he ended up having understudies to basically take over Fozzie Bear, Miss Piggy, and of course Grover and Cookie Monster and who else? Bert to Eric. Eric Jacobson, because both of them are Jewish, basically. And he does a good job with all of them also. And I think the one that does Beaker now, and I think David Roman, he does Cookie Monster. And now since, you know, Carl Spiney retired from Big Bird,
and Oscar the Grouch. He currently picked up Oscar the Grouch, and he sounds the same like him. Maybe it's that New York vibe, and he's from New York.
Yeah.
Where you scram?
Big Bird is an American icon. I'm a fan of him. He sounds crazy, but he is. Big Bird was just so unbelievably cool. Hey, how you doing? Would you be my friend? Did you have Big Bird? Did you have Barney? I don't know where they came up with Barney, but I have never been a Barney fan. I thought he was the most cheesiest thing. I never could get into Barney. I just watched him Big Bird. Nothing else came close. You know,
right.
As far as, you know. But Barney. But what happened? How did you create something great as, you know, as Big Bird and the other Muppets and you get Barney? I'm trying to figure this out to this day.
Even though that wasn't associated with the Henson company,
right,
but
yeah.
And that's it. I didn't understand. I still don't understand it. Big Bird had Snuffle up against right there.
Yes.
You know Bird.
My sister, when she was young, used to think Snuffleupagus was living in the closet, in her closet, when she was young. I mean,
wow.
That's how much of an impact the Muppets had, you know.
Kids
don't think the Muppets went.
Exactly. They had storylines also, children's soap opera storylines. They had storylines from the beginning and everything. In which Vince forgot how to what to do with storylines today.
Hey, because things are not making sense in the WWE for storylines.
Right. Even the wedding also, the wedding of Maria and Louise. I remember watching that as a 10-year-old and. Even families and adults was still watching it also. That's how entertainment it was, basically.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yes, basically because Louise played, you know, was the his family, you know, had the Mexican heritage and Maria had the, you know, the Puerto Rican heritage right there, and that had the biggest viewers ever right there for Sesame Street.
Did Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy eventually get married? Because I knew they were. Miss Piggy had
a
long time.
Right, they never did get married. They had a story thing on the Muppet, the second one in the Manhattan, but it was nothing but a act basically. They had all the, you know, Sesame Street characters with the Muppets, everything on the left and right of the aisles. Nope, they end up boyfriend and girlfriend. They brought. They had this reality TV show series, I think, a couple of years ago that was on ABC. And, you know, he was dating another pig and stuff, Kermit. And supposedly they supposed to have been gotten back together at the end of it. And the show got canceled because the show was horrible, written, basically. Why? Because of Disney give the Muppeteers creative control, basically.
Too much power. They won't control too much stuff. Some things just
right.
leave alone.
Right. And you see with Star Wars, George Lucas make sure that he had still creative control once he sold it. That Disney didn't have no interference in their creative decisions. And right now, I'm still wishing to this day that Disney sells the Muppets away to NBC Universal right there. It will fit them. Of course, the Democrat Party like that. Mayor de Blasio like that. Of course, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, they will use that basically as another thing to be against the anti-Trump for a children thing, because they know how to cherish Jim Henson's legacy and stuff, NBC over the years, and still does with their reality shows on becoming a full-time job, working at the Henson Preacher Shop and everything, and they know what to do with it, basically, because they still have a working agreement with Sesame Street and public television. Basically, you know, they had the Sprout Channel that started, I would say, like 10 years ago, and NBC, you know, they sold it to NBC for money, four years ago right there, the Sprout for Kids Network, and it's now on NBC now. NBC sold it, the channel. I mean, they bought the channel from it. And right there, I see that, I can see that happening again right there. I think the only way that Frank Oz will come back right there.
What's Frank Oz doing nowadays?
He doing these things with, you know, these documentary and shows on Roundtable with, you know, current and former Muppeteers that's no longer doing the voiceovers and stuff. Like Dave Goes, he still does Gonzo from the Muppets. He'd be on there on the Roundtables. Who else? Fran Bill that does Perry Donna from Sesame Street for years, and Zoe, she recently retired, and she, you know, she talking about, you know, her days as, you know, working with Jim Henson and other things also, and what's the other guy? Someone else that retired from, it's not Curl Spiney, it's someone else also. And because I know the other one that does count, Jerry Nelson, he passed away like, I'd say like five years ago. That does the count, and he does Robin the Frog also. Who else? He did a little bit of Snuffle Up Against until the I forgot the guy name. That does it now since 78 or 79. He kind of reminds me of Kenny G with the hairstyle and stuff. I forgot his name. I know his last name, Robinson. He does him and Telly Monster to this day. And it's just a good documentary to look at. Even the one with Curl Spiney, about 2 years ago, he did Big Bird documentary, and he just retired last year. He was doing it almost 50 years under Big Bird and stuff, but he had to retire because of health problems right there, because I guess from him being in a heavy suit right there, and he was basically 80. He retired at 83 years of age, and he still have the health problems, you know. I mean, that can't be curable. Some of it, the things he's doing right now with, you know, he's still going to conventions, but sometimes he get around with a walker and stuff. And I think he got this thing that sometimes he got to wear shades also some of the time, and he can't speak out loud. He had to use, I think, he talks softly, and I guess from the microphone and
voice box?
Not a voice box.
Okay.
He just can't. Some illness that he can't speak loud. You know, sometimes, and his voice at a low pitch. But his wife had to end up, sometimes be repeat his questions and stuff. I guess maybe he pick it up from the mic when if he has a live mic and stuff, that makes it better. These conventions will have to have the mics and stuff. He's still with the original cast of Bob, Gordon, Louise, they all tour with the current cast and stuff. And the guy that does Big Bird now, his understudy. And he has a big test on him. I forgot his name that does it now. But he does Sweetums, the Muppet from the Muppets also. And he recently does Kermit the Frog now. Since Kermit the Frog, the guy that used to do it that took over Jim Henson, got fired from Disney and stuff. I think that he didn't have his head into the game ever since because of maybe Disney direction or something. So he does Kermit the Frog now, and I think he's going to have a tougher task right now. Maybe they can work out a deal to get Kermit back to Sesame Street. They did one time during the sale for that 40th anniversary. That was the 50th anniversary. People calling him back, Kermit back, basically. And I just don't get it, because maybe Disney don't pay them a lot like Sesame Street, their puppeteers, because 90% of them work at Sesame Street mostly.
Yeah, but this is still going on despite all the people dying, taken over by Disney. The Muppets still going strong.
Even though it's not the same anymore with creative control and stuff.
Right.
Yes. What you thought of John Moxley calling out Vince McMahon it was called the writers shitty, and even the writers there have no clue. Some of them had it was good writers, but Vince shot down their angles. It was the Vince McMahon show that got him upset and stuff, and he was unhappy with. Even with the Roman Reigns wanted him to say something bad about leukemia, he felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, Moxley has a point. He's speaking what other wrestlers are feeling in WWE. That's why Sasha Banks is upset. That's why Luke Harper is upset. He's speaking the mind of a lot of wrestlers. A lot of wrestlers not saying anything because they need a paycheck. But things are not right, behind the scenes in WWE. Look at him. Even after, he left, already he's a different person. He won the U.S. Championship in Japan. And New Japan IWGP U.S. title. He's already being booked in a match against Joey Janela for Fighter Fest. Things already happened for him since he left. So it was just time for him to go.
Right.
So he had some legit gripes, if you say. But he's a totally different person now. He's doing his own promos. He has a lot of freedom.
That's true. He's got a lot.
You know, I feel that Vince McMahon is not really concerned about AEW, what John Moxley is doing right now, because he's into his play. He's not looking outside anything else, really. You know, Vince McMahon. But there are people who are upset. When you pay other people a lot of money, like Gallows and Anderson, a lot of money, and they say they wouldn't stay. Something's not right. Cause who would turn down money? A lot of money. You know.
Right.
Something makes you wonder.
Yeah, I think they don't care about the money. The ones that are unhappy right there, they just want to basically leave, and they being misused and stuff, and that's what it come down to right there. And I mean, they've been quiet about it, and Gallows, but they friends with the Young Bucks and Cody. But once they definitely leaving to go to AEW, and I think they're going to still have a New Japan deal on top of that too.
So they could be making the same amount of money or more money if they beat the WWE.
That's true.
Wow.
And they said it's going to be surprises that you're going to be shocked to hear. Of course, Nakamura is quiet about it, and I think that I could see an AEW on him and New Japan at the same time also. Because he mistreat Japanese talent in a bad way. You see Finn Balor, you never know his contract. He might not resign. He might he might be in the AEW also.
Because
other ones want to bash the company once they want to do the same thing. John Moxley did basically once they leave out the company, just to expose what the company is about and stuff. And Vince has an ego now, basically. He's with Ted Turner position right now with a lot of money. He got the Saudi Arabia deal right there that has a lot. He has both the new TV deals and stuff. And he's not worrying about that in the network numbers. He don't care if he lose to AEW like 88 weeks or 100 weeks. He don't care. Alexi's getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, Fox find loopholes to cancel him. But I just don't see them being on regular Fox that long with those ratings right there. They're not going to get to 3 million. And I think they're going to be dropping to lesser network on Fox, like the FS1 that has less viewership numbers and less households. Even I don't think Vince not going to care about that neither right there, because he's still going to get the same amount of money. He has a huge ego. Even WrestleMania, he know that he'll still sell out.
Yeah.
One thing about Cody, they did rip the WWE about some of that. Unlike the WWE, we be honest about our attendance figures.
No, yeah. They've been taking jabs at the WWE for almost two years now. From the Being the Elite YouTube channel, they've been taking shots at them. They keep saying they're not competition. But why are you taking shots at them if you're not competition? If you're taking shots at somebody, you're trying to settle a score. or something you don't like about them. You're trying to settle a score. So, yes, there's some animosity there. Somewhere in there between Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and the WWE. There's something there. And now that there is definitely something there.
And Dustin Rhodes came out when he said the same thing to DeMonifley. You know, he is free now. He was just in prison, you know. So, yeah, there's something is going on, you know. There was some animosity there between AEW and WWE. AEW, you know, they have some beef with WWE. Now, I'm going to address this rumor. There's a rumor going around the internet that AEW and WWE are in cahoots and they're working together. That is a lie. Yeah,
that's a bullshit. An idiot Mark on there stirred up. It's bullshit.
Right. Thank you.
And the ones that wants other companies to go out of business and that they all WWE, those are the ones that need to get a life or are not committed. They don't know what good wrestling is. They don't know the Ring of Honor. They don't watch Ring of Honor, the Impact Wrestling, the MLW, the New Japan's. They just Kool-Aid water, marks. They can still wash shit. That shit stuck to the wall every night on Monday night and stuff.
Yeah, that, you know, sad but true.
Right. Of course, they think that the best thing is the 24/7 title. the mid card, the comedy as geeks. The wrestlers look like geeks right there. And why they gonna have a sanctioned one on? It didn't make sense with Elias taking on R-Truth and other wrestlers can be in there anytime they want. It just look, why they lumberjacks? They can pin the guy anytime they want.
Right.
It's just stupid. Oh, R-Truth been getting the belt back every time when he get pinned.
Now, I gotta admit, though, I have to admit, that's an ugly looking belt. Extremely ugly.
The whole thing in my 24/7 is kind of. Yeah. But R-Truth does make it entertaining. Taking a bad situation and making it good.
Right.
But I have to say that R-Truth does entertain me.
Right, and whatever happened to Ron the Truth Killings of TNA, the first NWA black champion, two times, and all of a sudden he went to a buffoonery, basically a clown to WWE. Once he put on that Confederate outfit, that time was the feat with Cena right there. And his thing, and you know, he was basically pro black when he with Impact with TNA basically. It basically fed him basically.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. He's been a world heavyweight champion to see how he is now, you know. But if you talk to him, him and Vince McMahon are like on good terms. They're really good friends and everything. In interviews, R-Truth, Brian Killings, pretty much praises Vince McMahon.
saying he's cool to work for, he's this, he's that. And apparently they're real close. So it's like,
yeah, but Vince don't see him as a main event champion, which is a mistake.
So you're saying that you think R-Truth will be a champion, heavyweight
right.
champion? Okay.
Yes, taking him serious, not no comedy act. We don't want to see no dancer.
Did you hear Jim Cornette's commentary on AEW Double or Nothing?
I didn't get a chance to look to hear him on his show.
I have to admit, 90% of the time I agree with Jim Cornette on things. But he's saying this pay-per-view was awful. He said some good things about it, but he said there was a lot of bad things about it, too. I mean, part of it is he said bad things because he's not a fan of Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I don't know, you know,
yeah, been anti-Young Bucks with the super kicks and stuff, yeah.
Now, what he said about Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, you know, that they don't look, he does have one point about them. They don't look threatening. They don't look like they can kick somebody's butt. They don't know that they'll kick somebody's butt. Like the Briscoes and the Ring of Honor, those guys are like they can kick somebody's butt the way they look. You know, but
that's true.
Besides that, I like the Young Bucks. I like to see them compete. I like to see them wrestle. Same with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega was the best wrestler in 2018 in the world for most of 2018. So I don't understand why he doesn't like Kenny Omega. Omega doesn't look, you know, looking at me doesn't look tough, but he puts on some great matches. Him and Okada, their matches. You cannot be say he's not tough. He goes for hour long in matches. It takes a certain kind of mental and physical toughness to do that. That's why most people don't do it now. Because it's hard.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, he said, Jim Cornette also said, people who call AEW the best, one of the best pay-per-views of all time, they must be high on acid. I didn't think of this, and I just laughed, because I'll tell you it is. I stand by it. It's one of the greatest pay-per-views ever, and I have my reasons for it, you know. I mean, yes, it still has some work to do. The commentating team was terrible. There could be some improvements. But, yeah, it was a good pay-per-view. You know, even in another way, what would you give it, AEW Double or Nothing? What grade would you give it? Because people are still talking about that pay-per-view, and it happened 2 weeks ago. People are still talking about it. I personally have been watching it over and over again. Certain parts of it, I've been watching it over and over again.
A plus.
A plus.
Yes. And you got to understand, Jim Cornette is a liberal, basically. A hardcore liberal.
Right.
You know that hit.
What?
I guess because the Young Bucks is more, you know, grassroots.
Yeah. But I'm also starting to find out a lot of people don't like Kenny Omega fans. And I'm finding out Harley Race wasn't a Kenny Omega fan. I mean, whoa.
Wow.
I understand why people say they don't like Sasha Banks, okay? Because Sasha Banks has a reputation being mean to fans. Kenny Omega doesn't have that reputation. He has a reputation of other wrestlers or people in the business hating him, but not fans. You know, so that just boggles my mind about him. Why people say that about him? Because
right.
I don't get that feeling, you know, that he's a total douchebag, but some people say he is. So I was like, what are they seeing what I'm not seeing?
I mean, I doubt he's a douchebag, but he has the charisma and, of course, the mic skills and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, he was the, you know, New Japan, he shined, basically. They put him on the map, basically, because DDE didn't, he was in development, and DDE just, you know, didn't believe in him, so he left and went on to the Indies to Japan and stuff, and he became a megastar. Yep.
But the next preview, the tickets on sale for All Out June 14th. I think those tickets will not last long. I was going to try to get a ticket, but I didn't say, no, there's no chance I'm going to get a ticket of that. It'll be gone within probably 3 minutes. You know?
Right.
Oh, Shane Taylor, you know, won the Ring of Honor TV title.
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks ago. That's a good, I like, Shane Taylor's a good heel.
Yes, a former alumni to the show, alumni guest of the show.
Yeah.
Kamami of another wrestler I know also that's friends of the show, Jordan. Yeah.
Yes.
Also another shout out is to Leva Banks as the librarian of AEW.
Oh, that cracked me up, both of them. that was funny. Jim Cornette didn't like
yes.
that, but I thought I was cracking up on that. Two librarians. That was funny.
Yes. Peter, yep. Avalon, that was basically amazing. Entertainment. They have an element of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Vince don't want to change that. He wants buffoonery and horrible trash TV. How many times they want to tease Brock Lesnar? Brock Lesnar do this, cash it in. Nope, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
But I have to say this though, Wayne. Now, I'm not a big fan of Brock Lesnar. Neither are you. But at least he's not holding the championship. That's a plus. And he has been showing up on TV, on Raw.
Right.
That's also a plus.
Right.
Now, I prefer that he doesn't wrestle. I don't want to see him on TV at all. I care less about him. But at least he's not doing those two things. So there's a little positive things about, there's some positive things about Brock Lesnar right now. A few. Not a lot, but a few. But right now, they have everyone in place for championships. They got all the right people in place. And it's just need to build around them. I mean, boy, is that well, I guess it might be a little bit complicated, but they got everyone they need. They got two worlds. Kofi is over. Seth is over. Biggie Lynch is mega over. Samoa Joe is over. Finn Balor is over. They have everything they need. you know.
Yeah, they just don't want to put that rocket on Samoa Joe or Finn Balor. They did it once for Finn Balor, but he got hurt, but they forgot about it. And I'm just tired of the Shane McMahon. All of a sudden, he's doing MMA stuff and all of this, and I'm just not feeling that right there.
Yeah, and you're the only one. A lot of people are not happy about seeing Shane McMahon now. You know. But they just bang up. None of the champions, or people who hold the championships right now, should not lose it. People still wanted Becky Lynch to have the two belts. Because that was working. Becky two belts. That was working. I would definitely let her, you know, I think she should have kept both belts. You know, at least for another month.
Right.
Oh, yeah, locally here in Maryland, the Shane's Shamrock World Cup is coming up soon. And Nick Aldis is going to be there. The NAE World Heavyweight Champion. So that's going to be pretty good. He's going to be defending his championship. I don't know who he's been defending against, but he's going to be there. And the Shane, here in Maryland, the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup.
NAE is also pretty good. You know, you mentioned earlier about other wrestling companies, but NAE is pretty good too. You know,
right.
I know they don't have too, you know, they don't have hardly no TV time. They share TV time with Ring of Honor. They have a partnership with them. But yeah, they're pretty good too. Colt Cabana is a national champion. You know, Colt Cabana is a good champion. I like the NWA. And then on Twitter, you know, all the forums, social media, NWA, keep on asking wrestling fans, what do you want for wrestling? What do you want? See, they want fan feedback a lot. They are listening to the fans. They're listening to the fans to a certain point, you know. They do listen to the fans, but ultimately Vince McMahon makes his own thing. As we already know, he does his own thing.
Well, they rip off the fans with money, basically. They are the worst company now with interaction also to their fans. It's like an arm and a leg now, basically. Oh, no, more people take WrestleCon and other ones to go to, or StarCast, because WWE makes it less interested now. And it's just horrible what Vince is doing now. It's just making people, you know, podcasters like me and others, you know, we are welcome with AEW and Impact Wrestling also. But Vince is anti and stuff. With other podcasts, they want to go to an established company for them to play footsies with WWE, and it's just horrible. And one thing I gotta get credit to unknown sources. For helping me promote TJP. It did, viewers from SmackDown did come to the show though that time, and wow, it was actually over, I had basically over 700,000 downloads for that than any other podcast in 1 week, any other show.
Woohoo! Very good. Very good.
Yes.
He might be signing with AEW.
It could be right there. He's yes, he has friends there also. You never know. He could be at both New Japan and AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Because New Japan is smart right now. They trying to make up from the losses of the, you know, of the Elite.
Right.
And like I said, Rob Feinstein was right about what Ring of Honor higher ups are being selfish with spending, basically. With all that money they can make, they got more money than WWE and AEW Sinclair Broadcasting, but their upper management is out of touch or not wrestling and stuff. Even though Gary Justin don't have that many strings and stuff, he not the higher ups. But I think if they put all that money in and they can have a station for a lot of milk, their own station to get the same amount of viewers than or the USA Network or any of us right there, and open up the checkbooks wider. But they don't want to do that. It's like they want to make money off of profit and pay-per-views and stuff, because their attendance went down because of the Young Bucks and Cody and others leaving right there. And of course, New Japan right now is holding and making it a little bit more interesting and stuff. And without them, I think it wouldn't be that much interest. But I think Ring of Honor just need to spend. If I was them, I would open up the checkbooks to get the talent that wants to sign with the company and stuff, and to compete with AEW and WWE, because Impact. Ring of Honor is basically kind of losing the ticket sales and stuff. Impact Wrestling going to stay the same, but there is good. It is Conan did say, and a few reliable sources, that they're going to be moving to a better TV station soon. And I think this is going to be in the fall right there, because right now with AEW, right now the summer talks, they talking to major companies for TV shows for the fall and stuff. And maybe TNA, Impact Wrestling, must have made a deal right there. Since AEW have a lot of interest on the TV market, maybe Impact Wrestling gets a better home this fall, besides the Pursuit Channel.
I watch Impact on Twitch. I watch the Twitch app on my iPhone. I watch it through Twitch. And Melissa, you know, when Melissa Santos is the host, and she's a really good host. But last week Impact had Sandman on there. Sandman appeared. And then also has Pat Sabu. You know, Impact's made, that's a good TV right there with Impact.
Yes, they know how to use the talent now. And don't forget, Don Callis he's an ECW alumni. Also, he has connects also. Him and Tommy Dreamer that works on the creative team. That's why you see Rob Van Dam signed there also. Sabu making appearances and others. You see Ravens on a few of them. just because they got that failed back right there, and they got a lot of connects, and a lot of people respect Tommy Dreamer in the business and everything, and you got Jimmy Jacobs on the writing team, that, you know, from former Ring of Honor guy, and then went to WWE as a writer and got fired for taking selfies with the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club. You have him, Conan, the best agent, wrestling agent out there with Bill Burns. He on the creative side of that, MLW. He on the creative side of AAA Mexico. Amazing. AAA Mexico is having a good year so far. They got a working agreement with Impact, Major League Wrestling, and AEW. It's amazing. It's a high demand for wrestling now. The indies is doing good business. They more interest, you know, interest in what than the WWE product.
Oh yeah, it's high demand for wrestling, but I don't think you're not the wrestling boom. I had during the Attitude Era and Monday Night Wars. That's coming next.
Yes, it's climbing. It's climbing. Yep. Once this fall, it's going to be set right there. Must see TV. And Vince better watch out. You better watch out big time, because those SmackDown been losing a lot of attendance on TV. They've been trying to make it appear like it's a lot of crowds and stuff with top and stuff on the upper deck. The house shows, people, they losing house shows. They canceling house shows and stuff.
Speaking of WWE, has Lacey Evans has not won a match yet? She hasn't beaten anybody yet.
I see her did a wrestling match against someone that's unknown, a preliminary wrestler last time on Raw.
So she won?
I think so, yeah. But she's not – Vince rushed her up because of her looks and stuff. Another blonde also. But I'm basically friends with her on social media, and she's a cooler person that believes in her character well also. Very good, and, you know, came from a – she's a military background also. She fought for this country and stuff. I mean, it fits her, but she's still learning. She wants to learn more, and don't blame her for coming up to the roster soon. It was Vince McMahon. That's the things that Triple H don't like, basically. He don't like none of the talent being rushed to the roster fast. And that's on Vince McMahon watch right there for rushing her. She needs time to work on her wrestling, basically.
Yeah, not the fans don't like it either, because the fans didn't like Roman Reigns for a while because he was being rushed. So the fans don't like it either. The wrestlers are rushed. See, if you build them up properly and get people more invested in them emotionally, they do better.
Right. Yeah. And they talking about the indies going to be losing stuff. I don't think so. I mean, because once they become full, once AEW be more doing their house shows, that could have
the effect on the indies and stuff, but I don't think that's the case. You have more guys than WWE wants to get off their contract and stuff to do their own scheduling and stuff and to be with other wrestling companies and stuff. It's going to be a surprising year, basically. Going in the fall to see who's going to jump ship, basically, because Randy Orton, he had a 10-year deal, I think, from 2007 and stuff. I think that's about to, I think that's up soon, I think. And I think that he could be part of, he might sign a short-term deal with AEW for a one or two-year deal. Because he accomplished everything in WWE. And I think he wants fresh opponents and he want to be used the correct way right there. That thing with Bray Wyatt, he hated it. That thing they was in the house and stuff, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden they on the West Coast. How did they come from the East Coast and the West Coast from that? I think this was rent. It was weird, though. How did they teleport?
Yeah. Oh, before we go, one important question. What is going on with Sasha Banks? Is she going to leave? Is she going to stay? Because people still talking about Sasha Banks. What do you think she's going to do?
I heard one thing that she was talking to Vince and it seemed like she'd be on back on TV soon or maybe in a couple months, but she's not gonna get released from the contract. I guarantee you that right there. That she's gonna have to make up for her losses for missing time right there. I think Vince McMahon already frees her contract. But she should have kept quiet right there.
Yeah, I agree 100%. She should have.
Right. Along with, I think they're gonna just let Maria and Michael Bennett go. They on Twitter they talking about three more weeks left. I think they're just gonna give them their release because they're not gonna cause any harm or nothing.
But like Leo Rush.
I think they're gonna right. And Leo Rush is another story. He's just in a doghouse.
Well, he did that to himself.
Understand he's very talented and I had him on my show before and I know where he's coming from because he came from Ring of Honor wrestling and he was a big star right there. I mean, he was a star and stuff. He came from a major company and I still think that he do deserve a little bit more money he getting from that $300,000. He wanted, you know, double that also. And I think that he deserve it and stuff. And I think that he upset with the direction also of his character right there, that he should not be you know, they made some child references to him, like Gary, like he, you know, he looked like a kid, Gary Coleman and stuff, when the other guys do the promos and stuff on the mic. And he wanted to be a wrestler and stuff. He wants to be taken seriously as a wrestler on TV, and which he should be. He should be bringing down the house right there, having good matches with Finn Balor and